take your seats. Thank you. Can you all hear me? Sorry, my voice is softer than Andre, so we need to check the sound. Just for all of you who are new, very warm. Okay, well, we'll get this right now. A very warm welcome from me as well. It's always so good to see new faces. So for all of you who are here for the first time, just enjoy yourself. I hope you feel at home, and I just want to encourage you to make yourself comfortable and at home. We don't expect anything of you, so just be yourself. Okay, just enjoy yourself. And I always said that, you know, when we have children, I can be the career woman and I can work and he's going to be the house husband. And now I wonder if he still feels the same after Bian has been born. So he's looking after him tonight. Thank you, my husband. And, you know, but Andre is very hands-on, so I think he's okay. But please pray. Maybe you should pray for Andre rather for me tonight. Maybe I just want to give you a bit of background. For those of you who don't know me, Andre and I joined Shofar in Stellenbosch in end of 95, beginning of 96, so it's quite a while. And so we were still students then when we got involved in the church. And I was studying BEREC at that time. It's Afrikaans for BCom Accounting. It's the Afrikaans Stellenbosch term for BCom Accounting. And I did my articles at PwC Stellenbosch from 1999, and I stayed on as a manager. So I worked there for 10 years, which is quite a while, you know, taking into account people come and go in today's day and age. They work for 3 years at a place, and then they move on. So I was part of the furniture before we moved here. And Andre and I met in the church. He will share a bit of our story when, you know, in the next special service when he's going to talk about the Heavenly Partnership. So I'm not going to go into that tonight. But on the 17th of March this year, we will be married for 8 years, which is quite a while, a great 8 years, which I really enjoyed. But both of us have a heart for the church, and even though I worked as an accountant for all of my life, both of us have a heart for the church of God, and it's really my privilege tonight to share the words. You know, God can speak through a donkey. We all know that. So I know that any one of you can come and share tonight. God can use anybody, and so I don't take it for granted. It's really a privilege for me to share, and I hope and pray that it will be a blessing to you. So I just want to pray for us, and then we'll get into the topic of let go and let God. So let's just close our eyes. Father, I just consecrate this time to you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to share. I thank you, God, that ultimately it's you who work in our hearts, God. It's you who change us. It's you, Jesus, who come and heals and bring deliverance and bring through your presence, Lord, bring beauty and bring that fullness of life that you promise in your word. And I just ask tonight, God, that every word that I speak, that it will be what you want me to say. We consecrate this time to you, Lord. We pray that you'll open our hearts. We pray, God, that you will come and minister to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you have heard a little story about Johnny. I hope there's no one here tonight with the name Johnny. If there is, please forgive me. Johnny was hanging from the cliff, screaming for his life because he's going to fall hard and fall. So Johnny is hanging from the cliff, screaming, and the next moment he hears a voice saying, Johnny, sorry, Steph. I'm trying to make God's voice. Now, Johnny, this is God speaking. Just let go and I will catch you. And there was a moment's silence and Johnny said, he said, maybe anyone else can help me. Because Johnny wasn't prepared to let go. He wasn't prepared to just trust in God, you know. And when I listened to that story, I just realized, you know, this is such a picture of all of us. The moment we scream for help, and then the moment God says, just let go. I will catch you. I promise you, I'm there for you. I'm with you. Then we run to our plan B or even our plan C. You know, we're so desperate to hold control. We're so desperate not to let go because that's difficult. It's difficult. So instead of just jumping or letting go and falling into God's hands, we're holding on to so many things in our lives. And I want to take you to a scripture, and it's going to be on the screen, but I want to ask you to take your Bibles, for those of you who have it here. And if you can turn, I want you to see it in your Bibles. I'm sure many of you can quote it for me. It's a well-known scripture. But I want us to look at it tonight just once again. Just look at it and see it fresh, see it new. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Are you all there? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. Why do you think we struggle to trust? Not only in God, also in people. Why do we struggle to trust? Just answer that in your own heart. Why do you, as an individual, personally, why do you struggle to trust? I mean, there could be many reasons, and I want to give you a few, but I want you to answer that in your own heart. The first one I could think of is we feel vulnerable. You feel out of control. You feel as if you might just get hurt in the process. So you feel vulnerable. And you take a risk of being hurt and disappointed. You take that risk. The moment you trust someone or you trust in God, you take a risk of being disappointed. And something else I thought of is you can look like a fool. You know, the moment you trust someone, you can really look like a fool. You know, especially maybe if it comes to business. That's sometimes very hard in the business world to trust somebody. You know, and that's a whole different thing that which I'm not going to talk about. But in the business world, it's, you know, you need to have wisdom. You know, obviously you can't just trust blindly. Okay, but when it comes to God, we often also feel vulnerable. We feel there's a risk that we can be disappointed. And we can look like a fool. If we're trusting God and, you know, things didn't work out the way that we wanted it to work out. And I've realized that we are often afraid of the implications. The moment we trust in God, we are afraid of the implications. What if? What if it doesn't work out the way that we want it to work out? You know, and therefore I realize that, you know, we can only trust in God if we let go. Like little Johnny, you know. We can only fully trust in the Lord if we let go. And I want to say that that doesn't mean that we do not ask, because the Bible is so clear. It says, ask and we will receive. All right? It also says, pray without ceasing. So it doesn't mean that we don't pray. And it doesn't mean that we don't ask. But it means that we let go. Now, what does that mean? For me, it means that I let go of my timing and my way. I still ask. I still pray. But I let go of when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Does it make sense to you? Because the moment you come to a place of letting go of how and when, then you trust in the Lord. But you still pray. You still trust in Him. You still ask. Okay, we still pray without ceasing. But we let go of how and when. And I wanna share a little testimony with you about our baby. I know Andre shared little bits and pieces, so maybe some of you hear some of it for the second time. But I just felt that I want to share that from my side as well. You know, when we started to plan for a family, I thought, you know, I'm going to fall pregnant quickly because my mother, I'm one of five children, my mother always says, no, she fell pregnant very quickly, very easily. My sister has got three children. She fell pregnant like this. So I said to myself, you know, no problem. You know, that's what I thought. So, and we waited quite a while. I mean, we've been married now for almost 8 years. So we waited a while. also with this whole thing in the back of my mind that, you know, I'm not going to struggle to fall pregnant. You know, it wasn't even close to any thought that I had. And it took me quite a while, and I'm gonna share with you now. After 2 months, I woke up in the middle of the night with this word in Isaiah, unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given. I woke up and the scripture popped in my mind, and I thought, yes, this is the month. I'm gonna fall pregnant this month. And then when I woke up the next morning, that scripture stayed with me. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And, you know, later I realized why God gave me that scripture, because I knew He wanted to encourage me, because I did not fall pregnant after 2 months. It became 8 months, and then after 8 months, God gave me another word. I was reading through the Bible at that stage, and I was reading in Psalm 115, verse 12, that says, the Lord had been mindful of us, and He will bless us. And in the reference, that mindful of us, it says it means God will remember us. And God immediately reminded me of two women in the Old Testament. Rachel was the wife of Jacob. She couldn't fall pregnant. And Hannah, who had Samuel, she also struggled to fall pregnant. And both those two women, when they fell pregnant, the moment they fell pregnant, they said, God remembered me, and I conceived. God remembered me. You know, and God was so faithful. The moment I read that, the Lord had been mindful of us, and He will bless us. And I saw in the reference that it means God will remember me. You know, God reminded me of those two women and what they said, and I knew God was speaking to me. I knew God said, Sonika, I will remember you. See, it was 8 months now already. So it's not that long, but it's long enough to start getting worried, you know, if you don't fall pregnant. That was 8 months. After 10 months, I was still not pregnant. And Andre and I was sitting, having lunch with his mother in La Romantica in Paul. You know, it was one of those days again where I said, God, what's going to happen? You know, I don't know what to do. You know, it's a very sensitive issue. I mean, for all the women who have been trying to fall pregnant, you know, I never thought it's such a big thing. But it's a very sensitive issue. And they say, you know, the moment you start sharing that you're struggling, then you might even struggle more. Because, you know, it's just such a sensitive thing. But in any case, we were sitting that day in La Romantica, and it was one of those days again where I said to God, Lord, am I ever going to have a baby? And we were already thinking about a name for a boy for some other reason. Our boy's name is Vian, and we already thought about that name, you know. And it's a name I don't know anyone. I know there are people with that name, but I don't know anyone personally with that name. And, you know, God is just so awesome, you know. When we were sitting there, one of the waiters, he wasn't serving us, but one of the guys at La Romantica, he had a name tag, and I just spotted his name. You know, neither Andre or his mom spotted that, but I spotted his name, and his name was Vian. You know, and God just said to me, Sonika, don't worry. But through the whole process, you know, I need to trust God. I can't do anything. You can't do much more than just trusting in the Lord. That was after 10 months. After 11 months, my husband got a word. I think he shared that in church, but he got a word. It was when the angel appeared to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He said to him, Zechariah, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will have a son. And when he shared it with me, it just felt, immediately when he shared it with me, it felt to me as if God, this is a word from God. You know, your prayer's been heard, and you will have a son. Again, indication of it, that we'll have a son. And the months after that, I fell pregnant. So it was 11 months of trusting in God. And I know maybe for you it doesn't sound long, but it felt like ages for me, you know, to come to that point. And through the whole process, I had to trust in God. And at the very same time, a friend of mine, She was also struggling, and she's still struggling to fall pregnant. It's now over 2.5 years that they've been trying to fall pregnant, you know, and I've just realized that it's something you can never take for granted. It's something, you know, that little boy is such a gift for me because I just realized, you know, I had my own way in mind, and something I also want to share with you is, you know, I had this thing in my heart that Vian must be born early in the year. Okay, January, February, March, April, maybe May, June at the latest, you know, at the very latest. That was this thing in me because I knew that for school, you know, many people don't mind, many people don't worry about it, but for me it was this big thing that I knew for school it would be better for him to be born rather in January than in December. And you know, God said to me, Sonika, you need to let go. You really need to let go because, you know, I was trying to plan it. I was trying to plan an early in the year baby, and I wasn't pregnant after 2 months, not after 3, not after 5. And it became closer and closer to November and to December. And I said to God, Lord, this is not my idea. This is really not what I want. And, you know, I felt that God said to me, Sonika, you need to give me a blank check. That's what I felt. God said to me, you need to trust me in this. Because I wanted to control this whole thing. I carried this ungodly burden, you know, that I need to make it work or make it work out that he's born early in the year because it's my responsibility to, you know, to give him this head start, you know. And God just said to me, you need to let go. You know, and now my boy was born. You won't believe it. 24th of December, my baby was born. So it was really not my idea. But, you know, God just confirmed in my heart that his timing is perfect. You know, and I had to work through this whole thing of letting go. And maybe for you, this is not an issue. But I know that for all of us, there's something that it almost becomes an idol. You know, it almost becomes this obsession. It was for me. And I want you to think of that something in your heart that is so important to you that you can't let go. That if it works out any way else, your whole life is going to fall apart. You see, in the end, I had an emergency Caesar. I wanted to have a normal birth. I had an emergency Caesar. He was born in December. I wanted a January baby. You know, nothing worked out the way I wanted it to work out. But God just confirmed in my heart that even though it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out, this is his way and his timing. And I had to let go. I had to let go. And the moment I came to that place where I let go, you know, God's peace came. And I just knew that's fine. That's really fine. And the one scripture I want to share with you, you know, whenever I need to let go of something, there's a scripture I want to share with you. It's in Romans 10. Verse 28, it's also well known. But for me, it there's a whole new meaning to it now. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Everything work together for good. You know, and that is in a sense for me the If I let go, if I was Johnny and I had to let go from that cliff, that is the scripture that would be the something that would catch me, you know? That's something that God says to me, no matter how you fall, no matter how long you fall, no matter if you even maybe break a leg in the process, you know? If God says, just let go, I will catch you. You might still break a leg, you know. You might still get a scratch or two, but God says all things, even that scratch, even if you break your leg, if you let go, it will work together for good to those who love him. And I know that my boy's date of birth on the 24th of December, for some other reason, God wanted him to be born in 2008. I don't know why, but it will work together for good, for him and for me. You know, whatever happens, in the whole process. It wasn't part of my idea. It will work together for good. And I really want to encourage you, you know, that thing that you're holding on to, that is so important for you. If you struggle to let go, say to yourself, even if it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out, it will work together for good. Because God is in control. You see, and that is the one scripture that helps me to let go. Because no matter what happens, no matter if it works out the way you want it to work out, it will work together for good. Amen. Are you all still with me? Amen. Okay, let's look at why does the scripture say we need to trust in the Lord? It doesn't say we trust in worship. It doesn't say we need to trust in prayer or even fasting. You know, sometimes we think, for those of you who have ever fasted, I fasted for 7 days. God must come through for me. You know, I humbled myself. I suffered for 7 days. Often we think when we worship or when we pray or when we fast, which is all very, very good. It's wonderful tools to actually come and change our own hearts. But often we think we can twist God's arm by fasting or by praying or by worshiping. Okay? And fasting and praying and worshiping, it's a whole teaching on its own, so we can't go into that now. It's powerful. I mean, we should pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And God says He inhabits the praises of His people. And fasting is a discipline. It's good. So nothing of that is wrong. But why does the scripture say that we should trust in the Lord? You cannot trust in the pastor. You know, sometimes we think, if Angus Bacon prays for me, if Oom Angus is going to lay hands on me and pray for me, I'm going to be healed of my sickness. You know, or if the whole church, if Andre just says one Sunday evening, let's pray for Janice. She's got this problem and Janice really believes if the whole church is going to pray for me, that's going to heal me or that's going to solve my problem. You see, it might be the tool that God uses, but our faith can't be in anything else but in Jesus alone. Okay, it can't be in anything else. This is why the scripture says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I don't know how many of you follow the cricket, where the Proteas destroyed the Australians. How many of you followed it? Okay, quite a few. It's good. I mean, my husband was so excited when the Proteas, you know, destroyed the Aussies, because it's just, you know, such fun whenever we beat the Australians. But in any case, you know, if you look at somebody like Graham Smith or Dale Steyn or any of our heroes, you know, who beaten those Australians, it almost feels as if you know those guys. I don't know if you agree with me, especially if you follow a 5-day test. Not that I did that, but if you watch a 5-day test match and you look at the guys and you see them do the field work and it almost feels to you as if you know them. If you understand what I mean, it feels to you as if, you know, you get so into this. But do we really know them, or do we know about them? Do we really know Graham Smith? I mean, how many of us really know him? No one. Except maybe if he's a relative. Maybe he's a relative of one of you, and then you might know him. But we know about them. Or some other actor you really like, or somebody, your hero, you know, how many of us really know them, or how many of us only know about them? And that is what I'm going to ask you tonight. Do we know God, or do we know about God? Do we know Jesus personally, or do we know Him from other people's testimonies? Do we know Him from, you know, from far? Or do we see Him? You know, like Job, there's a beautiful scripture in Job 42 verse 5 that says, where Job says, I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Isn't that beautiful? I've heard you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. You know, and I believe that's a place where we need to come, where we will know that my eye has seen Jesus. Not anyone else's eye, not anyone else's testimony, but I have seen him. And I want to tell you two stories, two things that happened to me just before we came to East London, that I just knew Jesus answered my prayer. You know, something came up between me and Andre one evening, which really hurt me. You know, it was surprising to me because it was something that never came up before after 7.5 years of marriage. Can you believe it? Something came up and I really got hurt. And the next morning I said to God, Lord, I do not know how to explain to him that it hurt me. I really don't know. I don't know how to communicate it to him. I don't know he's going to understand. I don't know what to do. And I was very emotional about it. And I said to God, Lord, I don't know. So I gave it to the Lord. And the whole day was difficult for me. And when he picked me up after work, you know, my husband knows me very well. So he could see that I'm not myself. So he was asking me what was wrong. And, you know, I couldn't. It was for me so difficult, you know. It sounds like a typical woman. Sorry, man. I couldn't express myself. I just started crying. And I knew, I really didn't know how to explain to him why I was so hurt about this thing. You know, and you must actually hear his side of the story. But very interesting. He was trying to connect with God. It was his off day. And he was trying to connect with God the whole day. Worshipping, rebuking the devil, you know, because the devil is now on his case and, you know, trying to do anything because in a sense he struggles to connect with the Lord. And he came to late afternoon and he said to God, okay, Lord, what is it? You know, and for me this is so special because I know Jesus came through for me. You know, God said to him, Sonika really got hurt last night about this thing that happened. And you must make right with her. You know, and when he realized that I struggled to tell him that, you know, why I'm not myself, he said to me, is it about what happened last night? You know, then I just started crying. Sorry, men again. So women. Sounds like a typical woman story. But, and then he told me that God spoke to him. God spoke to him and said to him that this was very hard for him. And that he needs to apologize. You know, and for me, that was, maybe it doesn't sound like a big thing to you, but for me, it was this major answer to a prayer. I didn't even ask God for Andre to come and apologize. I just said to the Lord, God, I don't know how to explain it to him. Please, you take it. You know, and God just did it for me. And for me, it was absolutely just so special. Because I could see that God is interested in the very, very detail of my life. I mean, how many prayers go up? It's just astounding to me that God can hear all of our prayers. And, you know, as I said, he's not always going to answer it exactly the way and exactly in the timing that we want him to answer it, but God hears our prayers. You know, the second thing I want to tell you quickly is at work, I was confronted with an issue. You know, in that same time, I know that God was building my faith because just shortly after that, the whole East London move came up. And I know God wanted to show me that he hears my prayers and he's with me. I was auditing at a specific client and they wanted to do an accounting treatment for a specific transaction. And I'm not going to bore you now with all the detail. But it's a specific accounting treatment. Anya, you'll understand all that I'm talking about. And Jonathan, yeah, maybe as well. But there was a specific accounting treatment that not many people do. Not very, very few clients do that. And it's complicated. Okay, it's very complicated. And I was trying to convince them otherwise, but the financial director just said, no, 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 he wants to do it like this for various reasons. And I contacted many technical people in Cape Town, and even they were a little bit uncertain. They referred me to technical people in Joburg, and, you know, I was starting to distress, to really getting very tense about this thing, because for 3 years in a row, that order didn't go so well. Okay, it didn't go that well because things came up at the very last minute and the client was not so happy with the audit. And I said to God, Lord, please, this year, I want to, you know, I was planning way ahead everything. I said to God, Lord, I want this audit to be, to go smoothly. I don't want any disappointments for the client. I want them to be happy. You know, the red lights were just on for this treatment. They wanted to do this accounting treatment for this transaction because I could just see again, you know, how they're not going to be happy because the thing is how it works. They had to do, they had to get experts in to do certain calculations and then only then we can audit that. And it was difficult to make them understand that it's really complicated and they need to get experts. You know, they were just trying to do little calculations by themselves, which wasn't right. Okay, I'm not going to bore you with any more detail, but the one evening, I said to God, Lord, I'm stressing. I'm really worried. I'm so afraid that this thing is going to turn out again to be a mess. You know, the client's going to be unhappy. And I just felt God said to me, Sonika, trust in me. Just trust in me. You know, now again, I need to let go because I want to just do something and I don't know what to do. It was just such a complicated thing and nobody could really help me. Even the people in Joburg struggled to, you know, help, really help me. And the next morning, after God said to me, I need to trust in him, we were sitting in a meeting with the financial director and the CEO of the company. And I just decided I'm going to take my gap again and just explain to them that it's complicated. They need to get an expert and, you know, we need to deal with this properly. Otherwise, we might, you know, get a problem at the end of the audit. So the CEO said, why are we taking this route? Do we need to do this? And it was the financial director who wanted to do this accounting treatment. And the CEO just said, is there an alternative? And we said, yes. You know, I was the first one to say, yes, there's an alternative, which is very easy. And he said, let's take the alternative. You know, and I sat there and I knew. God said to me last night, I must trust him. And I knew at that very moment, God is coming through for me. You know, and the CEO just said, let's take the alternative. You can't see that it's such a big issue. It's making it difficult for all of us, for them and for us. Let's go take the easy accounting treatment. You had two choices. You know, and for me, it was shortly after this whole thing with Andre, and I just knew, God, hear my prayers. You know, for me, it was so special. And I just want to encourage you. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful. And obviously, in both of these two stories or testimonies, God answered my prayer the day after. Okay? The day after. There were many times that God didn't answer my prayers exactly the day after. But, you know, God is so faithful and I want to encourage you that you can trust in Him. And then that scripture says we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. And that is so interesting to me. Why does that scripture say we need to trust Him with all our hearts? Not a portion of our hearts, not a little bit of our hearts. We need to trust Him with all our hearts. And I want to take you to a scripture in Jeremiah 17. There's many scriptures in the Bible about our hearts. You know, the Bible says we need to guard our hearts, for it's a wellspring of life. The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. It's not very nice to hear that, because we all want to believe that we are inherently good. But the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. And the Bible says where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. So there are many, many, many scriptures. But I want to take you to this one scripture in Jeremiah 17. It says, the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Okay, when your heart departs from the Lord, you are cursed. Why? For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and listen to this, and shall not see when good comes. When your heart departs from the Lord, you will not see when good comes. So the good will come, the blessing of God will come, but you won't see it. Isn't that interesting? When your heart departs from the Lord, you will not recognize the good. Because your eyes will be so focused on the negative. Your eyes will be so focused on your own issues, your own problems. You won't see good when it comes. You know, and I, when I saw this, I just realized, Lord, how many times have I not seen good when it comes? You know, God is good. But often we feel, oh, God is good for everybody else except for me. Because nothing ever works out for me, you know. Listen to Sonika, she's got these testimonies. And, you know, when I pray to God, He doesn't answer my prayers. You know what? But when our hearts depart from the Lord, you won't see your prayers being answered. Because maybe you got a little scratch from letting go. Or maybe your leg is broken. You need to rush to the hospital. And now you don't see the good. You don't see that God actually did catch you. You won't see good when it comes because your heart is far from the Lord. So, you know, as I said, I wonder how many times have I missed the good in my life that God brought because my heart wasn't right with the Lord. So that's why the Bible says we need to trust, not only trust in anything, but to trust in God. And we need to trust Him with all of our hearts. Not only a little bit, but all of our hearts. Not even with our minds. We need to trust Him with our hearts. With all of our hearts. Amen? And then the scripture says, we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, and we should not lean. No, sorry. We need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. You know, that own understanding, it's so difficult. Because we all do that, eh? We trust in our own understanding. We trust in our own resources. We trust in our salary that we have. We trust in our own resources, our own logic. You know, we want to figure things out. We want to say, but this is the way I understand it. So, how can God do anything different? You know, how can God, it's like that first song that we sang, that all things are possible. You know, we become so cynical. I don't know if you would agree with me, but sometimes things happen in our lives. And I know sometimes we go through trauma. And I mean, I don't say that lightly because sometimes we really go through extreme trauma and then we need to, in a sense, trust the Lord again. You know, nobody can ever really identify with your trauma. Nobody can really ever really identify. Only God. Only God can fully understand. But, you know, we need to come to a place whenever we've been disappointed. We need to come to a place again where we say, okay, God, I let go of my own understanding. I let go of my own resources, my own logic, and my own ideas, my own plans. And I trust in You. Amen. Then the scripture says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You see, in Isaiah 55, it's a very scary scripture. I want to show you. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. It's not a nice scripture. Whenever God tells me His ways are higher than my ways, then I get uncomfortable. And I say, Lord, What are you saying to me? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You see, again, if we let go and we realize that it will work out for good, it will work together for good, then this scripture is not so scary, but when you can't let go, this scripture is very scary. Because then God says, your way and your thoughts are not my thoughts. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're planning, I'm planning something different. Or I'm thinking something different. But I want to show you another scripture. If we can go there. It's in Psalm 37. And it sounds like a contradiction. But I'm going to bring you the good news now. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It sounds like a contradiction, eh? The one scripture says, God says His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, is higher. And you see, that is the secret. God's ways are higher than our ways. It's better. It's better than our ways. And often, you know, we hold on so tightly. We hold on so tightly to our own dreams, our own desires. And we forget to delight ourselves in Jesus. You know, the moment, that's the good news. The moment we delight ourselves in the Lord, His desires and His thoughts become our desires and our thoughts. Does it make sense to you? The moment we delight ourselves in God, whatever is so important to us become less important. And whatever is important to God, His ways, His thoughts, that becomes important to us. You see, that is why God says He can give us the desires of our hearts when we delight ourselves in Him, because the moment we delight ourselves in Jesus, whatever we hold on so tightly becomes less important. And whatever is important to God, His ways, which are higher, which are better, becomes more important to us. Amen. I mean, when we came to East London, when the whole East London move came up, maybe for those of you who don't know, Andrew and I, we moved from Cape Town to East London. We got here on the 3rd of December. I was 35 weeks pregnant at that stage. And when the whole move came up, I was 5 months pregnant. So I said to God, Lord, this is really not my timing. You know, I had this thing in my heart that one day, maybe 2 years from that time, I'm ready for doing this kind of a thing where we go and help with the church plant. I said to God, Lord, this is not my timing. This is really not my, you know, East London also, it felt like China for me. No, I couldn't. That was, the timing and the place was so far removed. It's not China. Praise God. The place and the timing felt so far removed from anything I wanted at that stage. And, you know, my tummy was getting bigger and bigger, and I just started to feel comfortable with my gynecologist, and, you know, I would have gone on maternity leave, fully paid for 4 months. I would have got my full salary for 4 months. Everything was worked out. Everything. And then God started speaking to us about East London. You know, and that whole scripture about God's ways are higher than our ways came up, and I said, Lord, this is really not my way. This is really not my timing, God. And you know, the moment I let go, the moment, and it took me a while, I'm telling you, it took me a lot of tears with the Lord just to come to a place where I said, okay, Lord, it's fine. No matter how far I'm pregnant, when we move, the gynecologist, I need to find a new job. Lord, there's so many things, but God, I'm letting go. I'm letting go. The moment I did that, I could start to see the goods coming to me. Really. I mean, I had this list of things for a house. I had this list for Andre because he flew quite a few times to check out the place and to come preach here and to find a place to stay. And I had this list for him that he must look for. And my list for God was even longer, double the list that Andre had. And I said, Lord, this is what I want. This is really what I want, you know. And I'm telling you, God exceeded even the list I've given to Him. Many of you know where we live in a place in Beacon Bay, and for some other reason I wanted to stay in Beacon Bay. I don't know why. I mean, I was here once, and then I said to Andrew, I want to stay in Beacon Bay. So he said, why? I said, no, I don't know, but I want to stay there. You know, and I had these lists of things, and God exceeded that. But you see, I had to let go of everything in Cape Town and in Stellenbosch for the good to come to me. You know, in terms of a job, I was working, as I said, for PricewaterhouseCoopers for 10 years in Stellenbosch. Everything for my maternity leave was worked out. And I said to God, Lord, now I need to find a job and I'm going to have a baby. What am I going to do? And I started applying for a transfer because there is a branch in East London, PwC. You know, and once again, I had this list of things. You know, I said to them, I only want to start from the 1st of July. That's another thing. You know, I always say to God, Lord, I wish I can stay at home for at least 6 months when I have my first baby. At least 6 months, Lord, as a minimum. And it wasn't an option in Stellenbosch. It wasn't. Because of many reasons, but financial reasons primarily. I said to them, I want to start 1st of July. Gave me 6 months. I don't want to work full day. I don't want to travel much. You know, I had this list of things, and the one audit partner in Stellenbosch, she said to me, Sonika, you're not making it easy for them. I said to him, yes, I know, but I felt, you know, this is what I'm going to trust the Lord for. And they accepted everything. You know, they gave me the transfer. So I'm going to start working again at PwC from the 1st of July. So I could just see the good coming to me. You know that scripture, when I repeat it again, you will not see, when your heart departs from the Lord, we will be like a shrub in the desert. We will not see when good comes. But we will see the good when our hearts trust in the Lord fully. And I could see the good coming to me. I really could see the good. But I had to let go. I had to trust in the Lord. You know, and then I'm almost finished. Then it just says the very last part, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. You know, and for me that's very simple. You know, acknowledging God is just discussing your plans with Him before you finalize it. See, that's the catch. Not, let's quickly finalize my plans, let's buy the car, and then maybe just check with God if He's okay with that. No. Or let's buy that house, or let's get married. You know, or maybe that's a bit far-fetched. Let's enter into a relationship, or let's do something, and then just maybe check afterwards with God if He's happy with it. See, that is not acknowledging God. Acknowledging God is checking with Him first, before you even consider buying a car, or buying a house, or entering into a relationship, or whatever. You see, because our hearts, once again, our hearts get attached to something. And when your heart is into something, then it's very hard to hear God clearly, unfortunately. So what I've found in my life is the safest is, let's check with God first. Let's check with Him. Lord, what do you think of buying a car, Lord? Maybe in 6 months' time. What do you think about it, God? And after a month, you check again, you know? Just give it time, acknowledging God. Check it with Him. All right. Directing your path. You know, I found that God's yes is not always so clear. Sometimes, you know, even with a move to East London, 3 angels did not appear to me. You know, there wasn't a light from heaven saying, Sonika, Sonika, there's God's voice again. Sonika, you must move to East London with your husband. No, you know, God just worked in my heart. And He just worked in my heart to get a peace that I need to follow Andre. And that He wants us to go. But, you know, He will direct our path. And as I said, His yes isn't always so clear. Sometimes, often, it's a step in faith. But God's no, this is what I want to come to, His no is often very clear. I don't know if you would agree with me. There's some check in your heart. You just feel uncomfortable about a decision. You just know, you're just not 100% sure if God is in it. And then we need to go back, acknowledge God again. Lord, let's just check again, God. Is this You? Are You in this? Okay? So, sometimes, to go for something is a step in faith. But God will do anything to prevent you from doing the wrong thing, from taking the wrong path. So whenever you feel uncomfortable, check in again with the Lord. Just check in again. You know, if you come to a stop street, and God doesn't tell you go left or go right, you go straight. Okay, sometimes we're so tense, we think we're going to miss God. But if you acknowledge Him and say, Lord, should I go left? Should I go right? And God, you know, doesn't maybe even answer you. Then go straight. Go straight. Just go ahead with what you're doing. But acknowledge God. Okay, before you go straight, when there's a stop street, just acknowledge God before you go straight. Amen. And, you know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 13. I'm almost finished. It says, God Himself has said He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, He will go wherever He directs you. He's there. He's there for you. You know, and I often think to myself, where shall we go? Where shall I go? Jesus asked His disciples in John, He said, are you also going to leave me? And Peter said, no, Lord. Where shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. You know, and I often think to myself, where shall I go? If I don't follow God, if I don't go His direction, where shall I go to? I have no idea. Because God has the words of eternal life. So just to finish off, how do we get back to a place of trusting God? Because I know all of us have probably trusted in God sometime for something. And there's a good chance that you might be disappointed. There's a very good chance. I mean, I've been disappointed in the past. And then we need to get back to a place of trusting God. And the first, there's many, many ways, okay? But I'm going to give you two keys. And then we're going to worship a song. And then we're just going to consecrate ourselves to God again. First of all, we need to grow in knowing the character of God. We will never be able to trust in God if we don't know that He is, in fact, good. Not for other people only, but for me. Okay, we need to grow back to a place where we know the character of God, that God is good, that He is faithful, that He is for me and not against me. And once again, not only for all those other good and holy people, because I'm too sinful and I'm too this and that. No, God is faithful for me. He's good for me. He's for me. Amen. We need to grow in that. And to do that, we need to spend time in His presence. And then the second one, very simple. We need to give God a chance. We need to give Him a chance. We will never be able to grow in our trust if we don't give Him a chance. Does it make sense to you? Because if we don't trust Him for 10 rand, how can we trust Him for 100 or 1,000? You know? We need to come back to a place where we just say, Lord Jesus, I trust in You. I give You a chance, Lord. I'm nervous, God. I'm afraid to trust in You. I can't let go, Lord. Maybe I'm going to break both my legs and my arm, or my neck maybe. Maybe I'm going to break everything. But Lord, I'm going to take this chance. I'm going to give it my all. Jesus, I'm going to let go and fall. And no matter what happens, it's going to work together for good. And You're going to catch me. We need to give God a chance. Amen. The worship team can come up. You know, sometimes that's all that God needs. Sometimes that's really, really all that God needs. Just saying, Lord, I don't know how to trust You. I don't know if I can do this, but here I go. I take that step. I take that step of trust. And I promise you what I've seen in the last couple of months in my own life is the moment when I let go, I could see the good coming to me. I could see it coming to me. But when I was holding on, when I was crying and holding on so tightly to things that were important for me and things that were precious to me, I couldn't see the good. God couldn't bring it. Because, you know, I was holding on to my own ways. So if we can all stand, there's a song I want us to sing. It's a very well-known song. And it just says, this is my desire to honor you. And Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. So let's just sing that with all of our hearts. And if maybe I also just want to ask if you could just close your eyes for a moment. Let's just honor this moment. Let's just give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in our hearts. I just want to ask just as a sign to the Lord. Okay, it's not something, anything to me. It's just between you and God here. When everyone's eyes is closed, if you can just think, if you need to trust God again, if you've really been disappointed, or maybe there's a situation in your life right now where you are so challenged. You are so challenged. You need to trust God, but you don't know how. If you are in that situation, if you can just quickly raise your hand. Please. Amen. Okay. Thank you so much. You know, God is so faithful. I just want to encourage you. You know, Jesus Christ loves you so much. You know, and if God was here tonight, if Jesus was here, He would have given you a hug and He would have told you that it's fine. It's fine. You can trust Him. You know, but now He's not here, but now I'm here to speak on behalf of Him and just to say that Jesus is with you. Okay, God wants you to experience that good and that beauty. He wants to bring beauty for whatever disappointment you've ever had. He wants to bring beauty for whatever hardship.